Glory to God. Well, we've heard some good things tonight already. And if we would take them to heart, we would find that they are the way of blessing. They are God's way. And praise is one of God's ways, bringing victory and bringing you into liberty. And so we thank God for the teaching that we have heard tonight. Tonight would be our night at the beach, but the weather was not favoring us. Let's say it that way. So that's why there's a fire behind me, and I hope you appreciate the ambiance, if you can see it. And I thank Brother Tom. He's not here, but and Chris and Chad helped make that fire for you guys. So. But tonight I wanted also to just share with you a video that I had come across on Martin Luther. But before I do that, I had a little story I wanted to read to you. Now remember, this is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. 1517. Is a day or the date when we kind of go back to the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. And I thought it would be good to share with us, because I think I've found that people will ask me, well, what does your church believe? Or where did you, you know, what's the difference between this faith and that faith? And sometimes I don't always have the answer that I should have. And I think it's good for us to understand where we've come from. And of course, these things took place many years ago. And yet, that was the beginning of God's working in the world in a way that was new. And it was the bringing the church out of the dark ages into light. Now, you who are on staff, you have that little staff booklet, and Sister Edith, she explains it so well, so I won't even attempt to. But you should go read that. But I'm going to read to you a little story about not only Martin Luther, but about his wife. All right, and then I'm going to give you a little quiz. All right, and see, I have 7 tickets here that no one ever claimed. And I felt really bad about putting them in my pocket. So I figured that I would give them out tonight if you answer the questions correctly. It's open to everyone, all right? These tickets, you can take this to the boathouse and you get a free treat. Okay? So anyone can take one. I think I'm allowed to do that, right? Should check with the boss first, right? And how was he going to say no? All right. So I just found this interesting because I knew that there would be some young ladies here on staff and other guests, female guests. So this way you have the other side, not only Martin Luther, but a little bit about his wife. All right? So in the early morning hours one Easter, 12 runaway nuns, that's interesting, climbed into empty fish barrels and were smuggled out of their convent. Their unlikely hero was a renegade monk they had written to, imploring him to rescue them so they could leave the convent, marry, and one day become mothers. The escape was a daring and successful adventure, and it led to a most unusual friendship and marriage. The hero monk, Martin Luther. Luther is widely known as one of the leaders of the Protestant Reformation. Among the most important people to walk the earth, he lived from 1483 to 1546 as a contemporary of Johannes Gutenberg, Copernicus, Henry VIII, Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, Christopher Columbus, and John Calvin. A copper miner's son, he was born in Germany, some 120 miles outside of Berlin. After a powerful encounter with God, in which he was nearly struck by lightning, Luther became a priest and a monk. This included taking vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience for the rest of his life. Examining his own sin with a brutal honesty and brilliant legal mind, he nearly drove himself mad, seeking to make himself righteous in God's sight out of a terrifying fear of God. This included endless prayer, severe fasting that gave him significant intestinal problems, sleepless nights, freezing cold, and even beating his own body in an effort to atone for his sin. But by the grace of God, Luther had an epiphany that changed not only his life, but also the lives of countless others. While studying the Bible, he learned that righteousness is a gift God gives by grace, from and faith in Jesus Christ, and not something earned or merited through human religious and moral performance. Because of the prominence of Martin Luther the theologian, very little attention is given to Martin Luther the husband. However, constantly looming in the background of his works is the ever-present influence of his wife, Catherine von Bora Luther. All right, now we're going to hear a little bit about Catherine. Catherine was born on January 29th, 1499. She was only 6 years old when her mother died, and she was sent to a Benedictine cloister to be educated. Around the age of 9 or 10, she moved to a convent, and by 16, she was a nun. At the same time, miles away, Luther was beginning to disagree with the church's teaching on the preferability of singleness and celibacy and honoring God above marriage. Though himself still unmarried, Luther began teaching and writing on marriage from the Bible. Among the readers of Luther's booklet was Catherine and the other nuns in her convent. They longed to escape, marry, and become mothers. So they wrote to Luther asking the monk to help them escape. After their rescue, three of the nuns returned to their families immediately, and the remaining nine were taken to Luther's Augustinian monastery in Wittenberg. Luther helped six of the nuns find a home. So let's see, how many is that now? It's three. That's nine, so there's three left. Let's see what happens. Luther helped six of the nuns find a home, husband, or job. Eventually, every one of the nuns was married with the exception of Catherine, whose devoutly Catholic family did not want her to come home. Luther tried repeatedly to find a husband for Catherine with no success. Being a very bold woman, she went as far as to tell Luther that if he could not find her a husband, she expected him to step up and become her husband. That's the way to do it, girls. Step right up. But Luther did not marry for many reasons, including the following: because I daily expect the death decreed to a heretic. And he simply did not want to marry, saying, "Good God, they will never thrust a wife on me." Much to everyone's surprise, 8 years after leaving the priesthood, the ex-monk Martin married the ex-nun Catherine in the backwoods of rural Germany on June 13, 1525. One of the reasons, now I don't fully understand this, but one of the reasons Martin gave for his marriage was to spite the devil, which is perhaps the least romantic statement ever uttered. Their marriage was a public scandal and arguably the most significant marriage outside the Bible in the history of the world. I guess so. They set in motion a model for Christian faith and maturity through marriage, having a family rather than through singleness alone. What is perhaps most curious is that their marriage did not start with love or attraction, but rather with a commitment to the principles of the Bible and service to God. Martin and Katie did not get along very well because of their clashing temperaments and personalities. Certainly, they were not romantically in love, and there is no evidence that any kind of courtship preceded their marriage. Martin even confessed to his friends afterwards that of all the fugitive nuns, the proud and haughty Katie alienated him. Luther wrote, "I never loved Katie then, for I suspected her of being proud, as she is. But God willed me to take pity on that poor, abandoned girl." uh, You taking notes? I'm going to have a quiz. On top of all this, the couple lived in great poverty, yet with great responsibility. They had 3 boys and 3 girls during their first 9 years of marriage. By all accounts, Catherine was a wonderful mother, and Martin a loving and fun father who spent his evenings playing music for his children and teaching them the Bible, which was a welcome and joyous diversion from his busy and stressful life. Martin's old 40-room monastery became their home, and Katie quickly went to work cleaning the bachelor pad, including throwing out the straw bed Luther had not changed in more than a year, decorating the home, planting a garden for fresh fruit, changing Martin's diet to nurse him to health and overcome his legendary flatulence. I think he was overweight and growing herbs. Their home was bustling with activity. Martin was constantly studying and publishing to fuel the Protestant Reformation, preaching and teaching, working on translating the entire Bible into German, traveling and keeping up a vast correspondence with ministers across many nations. Apparently, Catherine often sat with Martin as he wrote letters, for they frequently included sections about what Catherine was doing at the time and the greetings she sent. Their home was constantly filled, and as many as 25 people lived with them at one time, not to mention the 11 orphans they sheltered. Dinners there often fed more than 100 people. How would you like to cook for 100 people? Honey?
No.
Honey?
Yes.
The couple's early years were reportedly awkward, likely because neither had spent much time in the company of the opposite sex during their monasticism. Martin reported, "Katie used to sit down next to me while I was studying, and not knowing what to say, would begin to ask questions like, 'Dear doctor, is the Prime Minister of Prussia the Duke's brother?' I don't know what that means, but..." She knows, but you see, she called him Dear Doctor. Okay, keep that in mind. Something that helped them learn to live together in love was their willingness to dish out and take a joke. They were known for being brutally honest with each other, poking fun at each other, and doing so as friends. For example, when Martin would start to bristle against her, you know what that means, right? Get a little bit, she would commonly retort that perhaps a little prayer should occur before he began preaching a sermon. His letters often teased her, but Catherine certainly could hold her own. Martin often struggled with severe depression, and it was very difficult to pull him out of his funk. He didn't know about jumping. Where's my sister, Joy? He's in the back there. All right. But Catherine found creative ways to do so. On one occasion, she dressed up like a grieving widow in black mourning attire and met Martin at their door upon his return home. "Are you going to a funeral?" he asked. "No," she replied. "But since you act as though God is dead, I wanted to join you in the mourning." Luther quickly recovered. Through their years together, Luther's built a genuine friendship. This is easily noticed in the letters we have from Martin to his wife. His favorite title for her was Lord Katie. He also called her his dear rib. You get the joke? His dear rib? Now, I know you're thinking about ribs, but it's because the woman was created from the rib. You got it? Okay, Chad. He's not talking about food. Sir Katie, he called her, and the Empress, my true love, my sweetheart. And this one I like, and a gift of God. Amen. When he suffered from kidney stones, constipation, insomnia, dizziness, and a buzzing in his head, she nursed him back to health. When he would fall into his frequent bouts with depression, she would hold him, pray for him, comfort him, and read scripture to him. She drove the wagon, looked after their fields and gardens, purchased and pastured cattle, brewed beer, sold linen, helped edit his writings, prepared meals, kept house, raised kids, entertained guests, and was often awake by 4 a.m. and working until 9 p.m. Yes, just like you, honey. She was such an incredibly hard worker that Martin had to frequently urge her to relax and often offered to pay her to sit down and read her Bible. She reportedly had a keen theological mind and often sat with Martin and visiting theologians to discuss and debate theology, something unusual for a woman in that day. The tenderness with which Martin spoke of his wife increased throughout their marriage. He wrote, "I am a happy husband, and may God continue to send me happiness from that most gracious woman, my best of wives." After preaching what would be his final sermon, Martin died at the age of 62 while away from his beloved Katie. In his will he said, "My Catherine has always been a gentle, pious, and faithful wife to me. She has loved me dearly." The end. I'm sure you can find more about her and read about her life. All right, so are you ready for the quiz? I know you want these tickets. Now, Brother Paul's going to help me. He'll watch who raises their hand. No calling out the answers. If you call out the answers, you are disqualified. And if you do it more than once, I may ask you to leave the room. All right? So you are the first one to raise their hands, all right? Maybe we'll do multiple choice. You like that? Multiple choice? Okay. No, you don't like? Okay. It's multiple choice. Martin Luther was A, a Lutheran pastor, B, a civil rights activist, or C, a monk. Chad?
A monk.
A monk? Oh, you got the easy one. This is not going to be a multiple choice. This is going to be just a regular one now. The movement that Martin Luther began is called the...
Put down the hand up before you.
Protestant Reformation.
All right, there you go. One for the girl, one for the boy. Here's going to be a tough one, all right? What was Catherine's birthday? No, I'm just kidding. You don't know. You don't know. You did?
January 29th, 1499.
Wow!
I gotta give her 2 tickets for that.
No way.
Who else knows? Anybody?
You got the phone? Oh, you had it?
Yeah.
You had it? Wow. As I was reading that, I've always wondered why a biographer will be so specific in the dates, you know? But I guess it's interesting. If your birthday is January 29th, right? Anyone else? All right, here we go. Here's a kind of theological or, a really important question. What was it? It was called an epiphany. What was the epiphany that Martin Luther had that changed his life? Brother Paul wants a ticket.
Could you explain the word?
Oh, okay. Like he got like a light shown, in a moment of flat, a revelation.
Yeah,
thank you, Brother Paul.
Changed him, right?
Yes. What was the epiphany that changed him?
The Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait. Let her finish. Let Chad put your hand. Let her finish. Can someone add to that? Oh, these two, the same ones. Ay, ay, ay. But what was it about the salvation that was different?
Righteousness is a gift from God. It's not a human effort. Or
it's by?
Faith. By faith, yeah.
You helped her. You're not sharing the ticket.
She's going to have to stand and share her treat.
All right, that's kind of the key, right? He was trying, and we're going to see that in the video. He was trying to do all these things to make himself pleasing to God, right? Well, not eating, fasting, and even beating himself and agonizing over his sin. And finally, he came to realize that it's by faith The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. All right, let's see what else we have in here. I guess these two are going to have all the answers. So how many boys and how many girls did the couple have?
I couldn't even say. They all raised them one time. Teresa? Okay, we hear it from Teresa.
Three boys, three girls.
Very good.
There we go.
Yeah.
Down to two more. What did I like from this? Let's see. Why did Catherine dress up as if she was going to a funeral?
Yeah, because Martin had depression, so she wanted to help him cheer up.
Okay. Right. So should we give it to Ted?
Yeah.
Okay. She said, if you think God is dead, well, I'm gonna help you celebrate. I mean, I'm gonna help you more. And it says Luther quickly recovered, right? All right, one more. We got one more ticket here. All right. What's important, Brother Paul, in this story, huh? What did Catherine tell Luther when he could not find her husband? No, second choice.
Another hand right next to
Cordano.
Who was that?
No. Nikki? All right, everyone, I hear Nikki. She's going to say, what was the question, right? She's going to say, what was the question?
They just have to pray her.
All right, do we agree? Do we give that to her?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right, here we go.
Repeat that question and answer again, would you?
What did Katie tell Luther if he could not find her a husband? Right, he would have to step up and marry her. Yes. Okay. Very good. You all did very well. Thank you. I'll meet you down at the boathouse and share your treat with you. Right? Hallelujah. Now, when I was growing up, I saw this video, Martin Luther, and it's I like it. It's a black and white. It's a classic, and it's probably close to 2 hours, 90 minutes or so. So I was discouraged from using this one, but why I say that is after you see this one, the one I'm going to show, if you tell me, Brother Phil, I'm really interested and I would like to see that, I can either set it up for you or I can let you borrow it and you can play it on your, you don't have, no. Okay, so I'll set it up for you and you can watch it, all right? But the version, the little one I have for you is from a series called the Torchlighter series. And they're really for children. But they're very good. I've watched, I think, all of them that I have, and I like them. And it's going to tell the story very succinctly. It's going to bring everything together for us. And I trust that you'll be blessed. But I do this because I think for most of us, we don't always know the history of our church or the Protestant church, or what's the difference between the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church, why is there a Protestant Church, and so on. And so you'll see just, again, he addressed, you know, the thing that started this, he addressed some things that he thought were wrong. He saw were not right according to Scripture. And I just want to say this, it seems in every faith, there is the truth, or there is truth, and then there are times when people abuse that, the power that they have. All right? And so we'll watch the video now.
I would be accompanying you back to Wittenberg, Martin.
Alive, you mean?
To think the officials could not agree on what to do with you.
That doesn't mean we're out of danger.
So, what next?
I really don't know. But I am sure God has a plan. And I have no doubt that he'll make his will known to me somehow.
What is this? What do you want?
That's him! Take him!
Martin, don't!
Let me go!
No!
Go!
Martin! Martin! Martin Luther!
Which is why I am sending you away, to Wittenberg.
To?
The university. Duke Frederick, the university's benefactor, has put out a request for good Bible scholars.
But I...
will go. You say you are in darkness, Martin, but you must not forget that Christ said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Go to the University of Wittenberg, Martin. Flood your soul with the study of the Holy Scriptures. You will find that as the light of God's Word comes into your soul, the darkness will flee, and you, Martin Luther, will become a changed man.
Enim estis salvati per fidem. The one who through faith is righteous shall live. Righteous through faith. Faith. The one who through faith is righteous. Not by my righteousness, but my faith. My faith in you, dear Lord, as my Savior. My Savior.
So, Professor, you are saying that
you can neither add nor subtract from the sacrifice that Christ made as payment for our sins on the cross.
But the Holy Scriptures, they encourage us to do good works.
As a sign of our faith, not as payment for sin.
But surely God expects us to pay for some of our sins.
Tell me, Gustav, which sin can you pay for?
I
will tell you, none. Christ paid for all of our sins on the cross. He came to save us because we cannot save ourselves. Enim estis salvati per fidem. How I wish the Holy Scriptures were translated into our language for all to read. By grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. So no one can boast. St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Believe me, if there is anyone that has tried to pay for his sins, if ever a monk had tried to save himself through his monkery, it would have been me. But it cannot be done. Christ alone saves us.
But what of purgatory, then?
Ah, purgatory. Where we go after death to be purified in fire before we can gain entrance to heaven. 1,000 years in the fire for telling a lie. 2,000 years for each bad thought. Tell me, Gustav, how many lies have you told? How many bad thoughts have you had? Just today. Yesterday?
Well,
how about all your life up to now? I would suggest you take some books with you to read when you are there, but they would only burn up. No, Gustav. Only God's grace can save us. And that is the good news of the gospel. And that is the good news that class is over.
You teach as if there were no holy commandments.
Spalletti, I gather you listened in on my class.
Really, Martin, what will become of these young men if they don't have any fear of God? If they think that God has done it all for them?
They will serve him out of love and not out of fear. Believe me, Spalletti, it makes a difference. I know.
Father Martin!
Klaus! Christina!
You'll never guess where I'm off to! To pay the rent! To pay the rent!
It's the first time in years that he hasn't spent it getting drunk, sir. My class has changed so much.
That man has experienced a change because he wants to please God and his family out of love. That's what the gospel does. That is what law alone cannot do. Trusted secretary.
Duke Frederick.
Just in time to see the latest addition to my collection of holy relics. Look at this. A whisker from the beard of Christ. I had it brought over from the Holy Land. It cost me a fortune, but it brings my collection of relics to nearly
What was the count?
18,000 relics, sire. And I have no doubt that this one will add to the blessings of the many pilgrims that visit our city.
I will place it between the straw taken from our Lord's manger and the thorn taken from his crown of thorns. But you don't seem very excited.
It's the new professor, sire.
Ah, the monk, Martin Luther.
His ideas, his way of teaching...
has raised attendance at both university and church. And as the benefactor of both, having Luther here puts a grin on my face. Our little university must rival the one in Leipzig.
Still...
let the monk alone. He seems like a good teacher. After all, Spalatin, what possible harm can one solitary monk do?
And checkmate.
Your opponent wins again.
Never, ever underestimate your opponent, Alejandro. You could end up losing everything if you do.
I'll be sure to remember that, Your Holiness. Speaking of which, I have been informed that the church treasury is low once again.
Low on money, you mean?
Yes.
But not empty of possibilities.
I'm afraid I don't follow, Your Holiness.
Indulgences.
Church assurances for reduced time in purgatory. We have made them available before, but perhaps now is a good time to offer more of them to the people.
In exchange for a gift to the church.
A donation.
A contribution. Call it what you like.
This would meet our need for money.
And do a great service to the faithful. Friar Tetzel can convince them. After all, who wouldn't want to avoid
the fires of purgatory? Think of your loved ones, not yet ready, suffering the agonizing purification of the fires of purgatory.
Oh, if only someone would help me.
Think of them at this very moment, suffering. But wait, there is hope. Your Holy Father grants an indulgence. Yes, by one of these, and your loved one can be spared hundreds of years of pain and agony. For as the coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs.
This fair? In Uteborg, you're drunk. Doesn't matter. I'll buy my forgiveness tomorrow. Delivered by the very hand of, Friar Tetzel. On behalf of the Pope himself, he's been giving them, selling them all over the country. I paid for my sins. Says so right here. That's what the friar said.
John Tetzel. People flock to him by the hundreds.
When the coin in the coffer rings, someone in Rome can buy more things. That's not how it goes. A soul from... How did it go? Sleep it off, Klaus. I know perfectly well what this false shepherd preaches.
Martin, you should watch your words.
Really, Spalatin? Really? Do you really think that a piece of paper issued in Rome will have any value after someone dies? Is Klaus supposed to carry it with him to purgatory? For if the Pope could free anyone from purgatory or hell, why doesn't he just do it out of Christian love? Or is this perhaps a way to fill his own treasure, which, rumor has it, has been emptied by his lavish and expensive lifestyle? No! Save your money! Use it for better purposes than trying to pay for your sins or reduced time in purgatory. Listen to me clearly. No relic, no pope or indulgence can do more than what Christ alone has already done on the cross. Christ is your savior, and he has paid all our debts to heaven through his death on the cross. You're not smiling.
Do you have to be so bold?
Tell me, Spalatin, do you love the church? The church?
I'm a priest. Of course I do.
As do I. Should I remain silent if I see it abused? Jesus said, whatever you do to one of the least of my brothers, you have done to me. I will not be silent.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Right. That's what I'm going to do. Right.
You would know that the heretic Huss was burned at the stake. You may not
not believe in the fires of purgatory, but be assured that if you keep this up, you will face fire nonetheless.
So the monk dares to write a book addressed to the princes of Germany and advise them to go against my authority? Let him deal with my writings now. This should make Luther think twice about picking up his pen.
I have no doubt the faithful will rejoice at your decisive action, Your Holiness. It will restore order and silence the, how did you put it, the wild pig that has invaded the Lord's vineyard.
I'm very glad you have such confidence in our church, my son, because you will personally take this decree and deliver it to every province of Germany as my representative. Show Martin Luther some real power.
Excommunicated.
The Pope is giving me 2 months to recant, to take everything I have said back, or it becomes official. You know what this means.
You are cast out of the church and heaven for all eternity.
No, it means I have more books to publish.
But Martin, surely...
No one, be it Pope or Prince, has the authority to exclude anyone from heaven. The Bible makes that very clear. But how can the common people know that when the scriptures are not in their language? This is why I cannot stop writing. Think of how much more our people don't really know. I understand Eck has been chosen to do the will of his master, and I shall do the will of mine.
And all of Martin Luther's writings are to be burned. Anyone that refuses to do so shall also be in danger, and therefore cast out of the church and heaven for all eternity. Let us be rid of this heresy.
Just thinking of replying.
Good. Good. If I could offer you a little advice, perhaps take a more humble stance in your Martin? Martin, where are you going?
To reply to the Pope.
Well, then, shouldn't you be at your desk?
Let this be my reply to Rome. There is no turning back. Books?
Well, after Luther burned the Pope's decree, the people bought many of the church books and threw them into the fire along with it.
Dear, oh dear.
This is getting out of hand, sire. Luther may have gone too far.
Oh, I don't know. Leave Luther alone. It just might be that God is using him in ways we don't understand.
He's expecting you.
Eck, you're back. Bearing good news for me, I gather.
He has burnt the documents.
He did what?
They want us to send Luther to Rome?
By the Pope's request, or rather, demand.
To be roasted at his feast, no doubt. No, our professor monk must not go to Rome, or we shall never see him again.
But it's the Pope, and Germany is part of the Holy Roman Empire, ruled by the Pope.
But also under the authority of King Charles V.
But sir, the king is heart and soul loyal to the Pope.
But he has also decreed that no subject of his realm shall be accused of any crime without a fair trial.
So... rather than send Luther to Rome...
where he has already been condemned, we request a hearing during the king's visit to Germany at the Council of Worms.
That's brilliant.
Compose a letter to His Majesty at once, and let's get our monk off the roasting rack. No one will take away my star professor without a fight.
the sound of it. It looks like it will be a speedy trial. Just listen to them. Sounds like they want to kill him.
The same in every town, you say?
Every single one. The majority of the people stand by, heart and soul.
And how was your reception, Master Eck, when you traveled about with the good news of Luther's excommunication? Instruct Luther to be careful in his answers. Eck is a skilled debater, and will do his best to corner him and put words in his mouth. I can only hope our dear monk gets a fair hearing.
Cardinal Eck, you may proceed.
We have only two questions for you.
Two questions? It was my understanding that I would be allowed to present...
Nothing.
Nothing?
You have been brought here not to present, but to answer. Did you write these?
I did.
Our second question. Are you willing to recant them?
Am I willing to...
The question is a simple one.
Quiet.
Are you willing to take back everything you have written in these books?
But that's
it. Answer the question.
Sire, surely...
Answer the question.
I am attempting to...
Yes or no will do.
And I beg to differ.
Was mit dir geschehen?
Sire, there is so much written in each book. I admit at times my words may have been ill-chosen, but in general...
Will you recant the heresy written in your books?
In all good conscience, I cannot.
So your answer is no.
I have not said
yes,
that.
Yes, no. Yes, no. Yes, no. Which is it?
Writings without being able to go over all the points I have made in them.
You do not recant. You
need more time. I came here to speak with you, to share with you my thoughts. The way you question me, I need time to think, to pray.
Luther, it's a pity that we can't accommodate
tomorrow.
Sire?
You have until tomorrow.
Are you building up the church, Luther, or destroying it? Isn't it about time you thought about them and not about yourself?
Thank you.
I never thought I would be accompanying you back to Wittenberg, Martin.
Alive, you mean?
To think the officials could not agree on what to do with you.
That doesn't mean we're out of danger.
You wanted something official.
I declare Martin Luther an outlaw.
Free to be hunted down and put to death.
So, what next?
I really don't know. But I am sure God has a plan. And I have no doubt that he'll make his will known to me somehow.
Oh! What is this? What do you want?
That's him! Take him!
Martin! Please don't! No!
Go!
Martin! Martin! Martin Luther!
Where are you taking me?
Keep going!
What is going on? I am ready to face anything for you, Lord. I commend myself to you. Ah!
You will not follow
me? I'm certain.
Spalatin! So the Duke...
has no idea where you are so that he can answer truthfully if he is ever questioned. I was only instructed to have you whisked away for your own safety.
But why?
The Duke has been pondering your message and...
And?
Well, there is something else. On the night of All Souls, the very night you wrote your thesis and posted it on the church door, the Duke had a dream. In the dream, he saw a monk writing at the church door with such a long quill that it extended all the way to Rome, where it toppled the crown of a lion. So, now I have only one piece of instruction for you from our Duke. Do as heaven has instructed you. Write. You will be safe here. Use the pen. Write.
Once I ran away in fear from a storm, and now, by the grace of God, I am ready to walk straight into one.
Stand sparked the Protestant Reformation that swept Europe and eventually the world. Convinced that the Bible is the foundation of every Christian's faith, Luther worked tirelessly to translate it into German. Soon every person in his country could read scripture for themselves, and by doing so, come to understand, as Luther himself had, that salvation is by faith alone. As Protestant churches began to emerge, Luther did his best to guide them through his writings. By the end of his life, he had written over 60,000 pages, yet his faith in the Holy Scriptures, as the primary source of a Christian's foundation, never changed.
I'd rather that all my books would disappear and that the Holy Scriptures alone would be read.
I trust you enjoyed that, or that you learned something. Maybe that's better. A little bit of our history. I think the thing that impresses me is that he was willing to take a stand in what he believed right, as he saw it in God's Word. And so I pray that God would give us courage. I think we live in a day where truth is under attack. What is truth? Who can we believe? Who can we trust? I believe my sister Janet had that thought in preparing her lessons for this time at camp for the girls. And she finally came to this, that it says in God's word that Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way. And Jesus is life. And so she chose to present lessons on Jesus Christ, the I Ams of Jesus. Maybe you know this already. She probably maybe said this, but we too have a message to bring to this world, and it's really the message of Jesus. It's the good news. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I think Martin Luther could say that. And I trust that we too will be able to say that. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You know, just a word for our young people. I guess the popular or the message that we hear is you can believe, but don't try to tell me what I should believe. If you believe that, it's okay, but don't tell me or don't vocalize your faith. That's a private thing. And we want to not succumb to that, not come under that, and be afraid to share what Christ has done for us. And I know that many of you will go home and you'll know that Christ has done something in your heart while you've been here at camp. Well, don't be afraid to share that. Where did you spend 2 weeks? What did you do with your summer? Oh, I went to Christian camp upstate near Lake Georgia. Or are you going to say, no, I went to a place, I served the Lord. And I really met with God. God made himself real to me and precious. And I learned more about the Bible. And it was cool. Now, if you say that, I don't know what you're saying. But don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. And I'd like us to take that from this story. And what he did, I'm sure he didn't realize the extent of that stand, of taking a stand on his what he believed was right and obeying his conscience, what that would do in the history of the world. So, let's be courageous. Let's take a stand for Jesus. Now, Brother Paul, I'm sure, has a song in closing for us. What is that, Brother Paul? 116. White book or hymn book? 116. Yes, Lord, thank you. Let's stand as we sing. Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. Would you wait?
service labor always at your best. Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way. Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus, you take us tonight, Lord. You make us what you want us to be, Lord. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. You have a plan. You have a purpose, Lord. Fulfill in us. Oh, thank you, Lord. Dad, would you pray with us, please?
Lord, we pray that it shall be so with all of us, that you have your way. Jesus, you are speaking over and over again. And now I pray that you will help us, Lord, to surrender fully. Fully.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, henceforth unto him who died for us.
Yes, Lord.
And rose again.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now here's a good opportunity for especially the staff I'm speaking to now. You don't have to stay up to 11. It's really okay to go to bed right now. Really, it's okay. And you'd feel a lot better, believe me, tomorrow morning. Trust me, all right? So here's your opportunity. I'm not changing any of the rules at camp. All I'm saying is that it would be good for you to get a good night's rest tonight, all right? And let's not have no congregating, please, outside here as you go. But the Lord bless you. Have a good evening, a good night.